Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
G'day, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast, where we are talking about the Doom Patrol comic from DC Comics.
Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve. You can reach us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com or on our Facebook page. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com.
And I'm Paul. You can find me on Twitter at reading_HIX. And we have a Sentient Show Twitter account, which is Wilfred. And he is at WFDPod. And we're sponsored by Comicosity, aren't we, Mike?
Yes, very much so. And this week, they've had some really interesting articles based around the hashtag of Make Comics. So they've had advice from professional writers and artists and, you know, some advice on starting things like Kickstarters and, you know, breaking into the industry and the tools of the trade that you might need. So some really interesting and helpful stuff on there for those that want to make comics. So, yeah. Oh,
that sounds awesome. They only had about 500 people chip in with things that first-timers should know, I saw.
Yeah. Every little bit helps.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, how was your week at Fortnite in comics?
I haven't read a lot of comics, but I guess the most comic related thing I've done of late is go to Heroes Con a couple of weeks back. So that was good fun.
What? I thought you weren't going to Heroes Con this year.
It was a very last minute decision, that was possible through a very, kind and understanding boss who agreed to allow me to have a long weekend as opposed to an entire week off. So I spent 40 something hours in the air and maybe slightly longer on the ground. So, yeah, worth it.
And what were your particular Heroes Con highlights?
Just hanging out with friends over there, buying a whole heap of old Detective Comics back issues. Apparently, you've got letters in all of them, Paul.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's prolific.
Right. Even ones from like the early 60s.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I do.
So you're older than you look, is what you say. The only Doom Patrol related thing I found was one of the DC Blue Ribbon Digest reprint things. Little 100-page digest, which reprints four issues from the original 1960s run. So that was a nice little find. But other than that, it was mainly just, you know, getting some autographs, meeting writers and artists that I hadn't met there before, like Marguerite Bennett. She was very cool. And the artist on Insects, Ariella Christiana. I'm sure I'm just mangling her name right now because I don't have the book in front of me. But yeah, lots of cool stuff, you know, catching up with people, surprising people by the fact I was there. It was a very rushed yet very fun weekend.
Did you catch up with any fans of the show?
Yes, I got to meet Astrakis One, Kevin. Got to meet him. Who else did I meet? No other fans of the show were there. Not that I can recall. It was all a blur. It was 2 weeks ago. I'm very old, very tired. It happened. Wow. But yes, it was very cool. A very cool weekend. So, yeah.
Awesome.
How's your world in comics and such been?
Well, not to be outconned, I also went to a con. I went to the Supernova comic convention in Sydney the weekend before last. My daughter is a bit of an artist, so she wanted to have a table and artist alley to sell some of her manga and anime and video game inspired art. So I was minding. I was the designated adult in all ways.
Right.
So, but it was very cool. So, I enjoyed being at the con before it opened and after it closed every day. That was very cool. And we had a couple of not as many comics guests as I think you had at Heroes Con, I'm guessing. But we had like about six. But cool. I caught up with Art Adams, who, you know, famous for drawing Monkey Man and O'Brien and X-Men and stuff like that. And he I got him to autograph some Doom Patrol comics that he did the pencils over, no, the inks over Eric Larson pencils.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was cool. And I also caught up with Cully Hamner, who, you know, Green Lantern, Mosaic, Firearm, Question, Shade. But I had a quick chat with him. He really wanted to give me an exclusive about what was coming up for him. So maybe we could roll tape and everyone can hear that.
Let's do that.
Hi, Cully. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well. So what are you working on at the moment?
Well, boy, I wish I could tell you in a lot of details.
Why don't I just ask you about this? What do you think of the Doom Patrol?
What do I think of the Doom Patrol? In what respect?
Well, are you a fan of the classic series? Or
I am a fan of the Grant Morrison, Richard Case series. I loved that. I believe it or not, I used to read the Bruno Premiani stuff. I was a big fan of his, so I'm pretty familiar with the characters. Love Robot Man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he your favorite Doom Patroller?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Robot Man. Or Negative Man.
Oh, yeah.
I like Negative Man a lot, too.
Cool. So. You're a fan of Rita?
Yeah. I didn't like Rita, you
yeah.
know?
Fantastic.
Giant Jaunches. Chick, come on.
Awesome. And what are you excited for the new Doom Patrol coming out in September?
Well, yeah. What's funny is the guy that is drawing that, Nick Darrington, is a neighbor of mine. Really good artist. I'm excited that he's doing the book. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And any other messages for the Doom Patrol fans?
Pick up the book. I mean, you know, Rebirth is like a great jumping on point, so I'd say go grab it. And I guess Doom Patrol is part of the Gerard Way line.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be a really cool thing, I think. A lot of exciting stuff happening at DC right now.
Awesome. Thanks for your time.
All right, cool.
I didn't realize I was going to be so Doom Patrol centric.
You almost threw me there. You're lucky that I'm actually a fan of this character.
So, yeah, Supernova's one. And my daughter, you know, sold lots of her art, and it was really good for her. So, yeah, I think we'll be doing it again at an anime convention in August. So, looking forward to that. Yeah, is that ticking I hear, Michael?
That is indeed ticking, and it can only be the mighty Doom Clock. Yes, so we look at the face of the mighty Doom Clock, and we see that there's actually two faces on it this week. There's one looking at the past, and there's one looking at the future. So looking at the past, we can see that it's been 5 years and 8 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book, which was issue 22 of Volume 5 from the Given Clark run, which was covered in July 2011, going on sale May 4th of that same year. But if we look at the other face, if we look to the future, it's only 11 weeks till Issue 1 of Volume 6 comes out.
What?
That's right.
That's right. Wow.
We're on the road to new Doom Patrol.
So that sounds like a movie. The Doom Clock has two faces.
Yes.
Sounds like a telly movie. Doesn't sound...
Sure does. It's like something you'd see on SBS late at night. Hello to all our Australian listeners. It's been 46 weeks since the last appearance of the team in two different comics, All-Star Section 8, number 3, and Justice League United, number 12. And this week in Doom Patrol history, cover dated August 2004 and going on sale June 30th of that same year for US $2.50, was issue 1 of Doom Patrol Volume 4 from everyone's favorite John Byrne.
Woo.
Titled Baptism of Blood, this launch issue continued on from the 10th Circle storyline found in JLA issues 94 through to 99, where the newly formed team, the Doom Patrol, now continue to face the forces of Crucifer the Vampire.
And is it Crucifer or Crucifier?
I thought it was Crucifer.
You could be right. Either way, what a good name.
Yeah, what an epic storyline that was.
Nah. I think we ought to give it a bit more respect and look at it properly one day.
We will. Oh, look, if I had to read it, you're going to have to read it, mate. Anyway, that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
This is an imaginary podcast, which may never have happened.
The Short Box Showcase.
But then again, may have. About a father and daughter. I'm Professor Allen.
And I'm Emily.
Who came from Ohio and talked about comics.
Walking Dead.
Tintin.
Black Lightning.
White Tiger. It tells of their rise to glory, when the great guests were yet to be booked.
Let's put it this way, Shogun Warriors wasn't going to win any Eisners.
And the great feats of editing not yet performed.
And this is Ultra 7, this is Ultraman Jack, and this is Ultraman Taro, and this is Ultraman Leo, and this is Ultraman...
of how they spoke at length.
This continuity is really the brainchild of nitpicking nerds the world over.
But to be fair, the best kind of confession is the Force confession.
And reviewed in brief tales that explore creatively the bounds of a given character's history.
Red Sun is wonderful with a very strange ending.
Of brilliant creators before their fall from grace. This is the era where Miller is at the height of his creative and artistic powers, and the ability of strong writing to encapsulate and transcend its time.
Flash of Two Earths by Gardner Fox.
This is an imaginary podcast. Aren't they all? Shortbox Showcase is part of the Relatively Geeky family of podcasts. Check us out on the web at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search in iTunes for Relatively Geeky or Shortbox Showcase. And remember, we're not experts.
We're just family.
And now it's time for Doom Splatting. And this week on the show, we're doing Doom Patrol 101. So what are the basics of the Doom Patrol? So we believe that we're getting a few new listeners at the moment, and they're probably coming into the Doom Patrol with the sort of, well, Jared Way's going to write it, and I'm a bit interested in that. And you know, I've heard of the Grant Morrison run, but, you know, they may not realize the full history of the Doom Patrol and everything that's been and where it came from and how it all came together. So that's what we're going to cover today. We're going to package it all up into a neat parcel so everyone can say, I understand about the Doom Patrol. I've got the basics, thanks to listening to Paul and Mike. So that's what we're going to do. And so, Mike, would you like to cover the 1960s of Volume 1?
Let's do it. Okay. So the Doom Patrol originally appeared in a series called My Greatest Adventure, which was an anthology series. And it was originally more like two-fisted daring adventure tales that was kind of moving more towards superheroes, as that was the flavor of the day. So yeah, issue 80 of My Greatest Adventure went on sale April 18th, 1963, and they were created and drawn and written by Arnold Drake and Bruno Premiani. So this is the classic 60s stuff. And this is where we first met the brilliant Dr. Niles Calder, who had convinced three superpowered outcasts to use their freakish abilities for the greater good. So we first meet Cliff Steele, aka Robot Man. Now, he was a former race car driver who had a terrible accident and would have perished for good if Niles had not saved his brain and put it in a robotic body. We also meet Larry Trainer, a former test pilot who became fused with a negative energy being from outer space after his experimental jet was bombarded by cosmic rays way up in the atmosphere. And the final member of the team is Rita Farr, a former gold medal Olympic swimmer turned actress who became exposed to strange volcanic gases whilst on location in Africa. And she gained the abilities to expand or shrink her body at will. So classic weird 60s sci-fi superhero stuff right there. Oh, so good. In time, the team expanded to include Steve Dayton, world's fifth richest man and one of their best jerks, who was the creator of the amazing Mento helmet, which gifted him with great mental abilities. And he'd also end up marrying Rita as the story progressed along. And we would also eventually meet Gar Logan, a.k.a. Beast Boy. So those fans of the Teen Titans and the Titans, this is where you first ever see Beast Boy in comics. And he joined the team kind of unofficially as they went along and ended up being adopted by Rita and Steve after they got married. Now, the Patrol had a regular cast of enemies that they would face off against, some of which included General Immortus, who was looking for, you know, the secrets of immortality and believed that Dr. Niles Calder had that secret. There was a shape-shifting animal, vegetable, mineral man. There was the would-be alien conqueror Gargoax, and also the Brotherhood of Evil, which was essentially the genius Brain, who was a brain in a jar. Monsumella, the intelligent warrior gorilla, and Madame Rouge with powers of elasticity and malleability. So, pretty wacky stuff there. So, looking at some of the questions we got from listeners this week, the first one is, what is a Doom Patrol? Asked by Jess Camacho. I guess a Doom Patrol is only the world's strangest superheroes united to save the world whenever they can. So, Because, yeah, they had a lot of weird enemies. Some that only appeared in, like, one issue and then were never seen again. But, and more often than not, the patrol would have Doom finding them. They didn't tend to have to go too far to find trouble. So the popularity of the book eventually dropped off, and in 1968, the series ended with issue 121, after its title change from My Greatest Adventure to Doom Patrol, after issue, I think it was 86, I want to say. I should have noted that. So the final issue, the team were actually killed off. They sacrificed themselves to save a small fishing village in Codsville, Maine. And this was, I'm pretty sure, the first time in comics that a team was killed off at the end of their series. So it was pretty shocking stuff back in the day.
Groundbreaking.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, so that was the original 60s run in a nutshell. One of my favorite runs of all time from the Doom Patrol. Very much of its time. Some of the language is very 60s. Like, you'll get daddy-os and, you know, come on, you cool kids. Wacky stuff like that. So, yeah. We had some other questions from listeners. One of them being from Astrakis One, our friend Kevin, who asked, what other team names do you think they came up with before settling on Doom Patrol? I couldn't think of a better name for them, to be honest.
I think they probably toyed with Freak Patrol for a little while, or Freak Force, or something like that, or Doom Titans.
I think Doom Patrol is just perfect. It's just
it is. Nice it actually works. It says what they do, and it really gives you the flavor of their stories. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another question we had from Frack. My God, a question from Frack. Who are the four people in the DCU who are richer than Dayton? Now,
I've got this.
I had to think about this. Here's my four.
Okay.
It depends. You have to remember, comic book timeline has to be flexible. I'm going to go with, in no particular order. Okay. I'm just going to put names out there. Lex Luthor, Bruce Wayne, Ra's al Ghul, Vandal Savage.
Ah, nice choices.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you say, the timeline, because Ra's al Ghul didn't exist when Steve Dayton debuted. And,
true, yes.
Yeah.
Or did he?
Not in comics. My four, I would say, is Mr. Jupiter, the funder of the Titans.
Oh.
He was a sus person, but very, very rich. Bruce Wayne, as you said.
Yep.
Batman, yep. Oh, spoilers, sorry. And Simon Stagg, I think, would be one of the richer men than...
Okay.
He was involved with Metamorpho and used to pay millions of dollars to do things and then not pay him. That's how you stay rich.
Right.
And I would also suggest Oliver Queen might be one of the richest.
He was one I toyed with, but I thought... Yeah. I kind of pictured Oliver and Mento almost being on the same level, the same pay bracket.
Yeah, possibly.
Except Oliver's probably a nicer person.
It's interesting that Mento has managed to stay the fifth richest man through several decades. So, I mean, that would require a lot of work. You know, you got
or a lot of not doing much at all to stay at number five.
Be like, sell, sell, sell. I'm almost fourth. Yeah. I don't want to be...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yes, that's a 60s run. If you're looking for a bit more of a fun edition of the Doom Patrol with a bit more wacky and zaniness, check out the first edition from the 1960s. Who were then sadly killed off. But Paul, tell us about the interim era after that.
Okay, so the Doom Patrol, they disappeared in 68, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then they resurfaced in a revival of Showcase, which is a DC comic. So Showcase presents the new Doom Patrol. So, and that came out in 1977. Mm-hmm. So May 31st. So what's that? Just after Star Wars, I think.
Let's say yes.
Yes. So anyway, in that they recovered a Cliff Steele's brain and stuck it in a new robot body, which was pretty funky. It's got antennas and stuff. And we were introduced to a new version of the Doom Patrols. And the first time we meet Arani, who is known as Celsius. And she had hot and cold powers, so she could heat things up or cool them down. But she claimed to be Niles Calder's wife.
Scandal.
Scandal, yeah. And we also introduced the concept of the negative energy being able to go from one body to the next. And it inhabited a woman called Val Vostok, a Russian pilot, who flew near the island where the Doom Patrol were blown up. And she was possessed by the negative energy, and she became Negative Woman. So, she could release the energy just like Larry Trainer could, the former Negative Man. And a new person joined the team called Tempest. He was a black soldier who was a conscientious objector and something in the middle of the war, walked off and hid it and became a doctor. But he, in an accident in the war, he got powers where he could shoot blasts from his hands, and he was quite strong. Mm-hmm. And they reformed the Doom Patrol, and they were under attack from General Immortus, one of the original villains. Ooh. Who was trying to steal their powers. So he was after more immortality, hence his name. So they had a few adventures, and then they disappeared for quite a while. Yes. So at the end of 77, they vanished, and then they resurfaced in the Superman Family comics later in 78, so towards about nearly 6 months later. Mm. So and these stories, the Doom Patrol teamed up with Supergirl, I believe?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And Jerry Conway wrote these stories. There's nothing much to these stories particularly.
No, we did cover these in an earlier episode, and yeah, they were okay. But
Yeah. But from there, then I think they went to DC Comics Presents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was interesting. And in that story... That was the first story that Ambush Bug appeared, which is another DC sort of wacky character. So Keith Giffen first got involved with the team. Oh, and in this story, Negative Woman's powers go out of control, and she the negative energy is flying all over the place, being crazy, causing lots of damage. And the upshot of that is she has to wear bandages, just like Larry Trainer did, the original Negative Man. And she gets very depressed, and it sort of crimps her love life with Tempest, who... really had the hots for her.
Oh, so. Didn't he just?
Yeah. And then there were various other stories. There was a Teen Titans story in the new Teen Titans series where Beast Boy and Robot Man, they team up to, you know, with the Titans to take down some of the villains who destroyed the original incarnation of the Doom Patrol. Mm-hmm. So Madame Rouge, Colonel Zal. And, that was quite a good story.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, so Beast Boy maintained his connection to the Doom Patrol. But mostly they were just in the wilderness for a while.
Mm. So,
now, some of the questions we've been asked are, well, Martin Gray, who does the Too Dangerous for a Girl blog, which is excellent, about comics that come out every week. He said, how many bodies has Cliff gotten through? So I had a bit of a think, and I think, you know, when he got his... body crushed in volume one with the Swiss cheese like holes.
Yeah.
That would probably be one body there. When they got blown up, definitely another body. Then he had a new body when the team reformed with the antennas. Mm-hmm. And I think back in when volume two starts, he's got another new body back more like his original. Actually, the one in New Teen Titans, I think that comes up.
Yeah.
He goes through a few bodies in volume two. So I reckon at least 10 times that I can think of just casually.
Well, yeah, I'd say at least, let's say at least two per version.
Yeah.
Per series. So yeah, there's your 10 there. But
probably more.
I'd say there'd be more. We'd have to do an actual count, I think. And yes. That could take a while. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few in volume two, definitely.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. There's a few in volume five even as well.
Yeah. And Kevin asked us, a Strikers one, he said, Mento, boxes or briefs? Mento would freeball, I reckon. Richest man in the world doesn't want to be restricted in any way. So.
Yeah, sure.
Fifth richest.
That's a terrible mental image, and thank you. Yeah.
And the first of our troll questions, which comes from Juice005, which is Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. And he said, if each Doom Patrol member was a bowl of soup, what kind would they be? Now, this is interesting. I think Cliff would be a hearty beef.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Fisher? Hot Hands, who we, you know, he's a very happy, upbeat, sort of hard to take character. He would be Cheese Fondue, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Arani would be something spicy and quite hard to take.
Yep.
Yep. And Larry would be chicken soup, I think.
Probably. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. And Rita would be... I think Rita would have something with croutons. What do you think?
I'll say yes.
Yes.
Because why not? Take, yeah.
You're not taking this question very seriously, Mike.
Oh, how rude of me. I'm so sorry, Paul. And Juice.
Okay, so eventually Volume 2 did come along, didn't it, Mike?
This is true. Volume 2 was launched in July of 1987, written by Paul Kupperberg, with art originally by Steve Lytle, and then Eric Larson joined the team on art. And this was a much more, I guess, straight-up superhero version of the team. So it still had Negwoman, Arani, and Tempest from the interim eras that Paul was just telling us about, but it also had some younger heroes joining the team. So we had Rhea Jones, who was the magnetically powered Lodestone. Wayne Hawkins was a young punk called Karma, and he had sort of psychic powers that kept him safe and caused harm to anyone that tried to harm him. And then everyone's favorite, Scott Fisher, who didn't actually have a code name really that I can recall, but we call him, with a lot of love and affection on this show, we call him Hot Hands because he could generate extreme heat through his hands. And it just seems to fit and work. Yes. So, yes. So this version of the team was a lot more tied into the regular DC continuity. They were based out of Kansas City. They had encounters with Superman. There was lots of destruction of city property and people were trying to get rid of them from the city. And, yeah, it was an okay run. I think it was a little bit underrated, but it kind of was played a lot more serious, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it certainly it played so much more with the DCU. Like Lex Luthor was a villain for a while, and they meet up with the Suicide Squad for a book, and yeah, but they introduced a few new characters in this run as well. There's Dorothy Spinner was introduced during this.
Yes. Her first appearance, that's right. And, yeah, that's right. They also had a team-up with Power Girl as well for a couple of issues against the, you know, fighting in that chaotic realm / demon / person thing. But, yeah, it was a good run. Yeah, yeah.
And it all ended fairly tragically in a crossover called Invasion, where quite a lot of the team sort of died. Or disappeared, or, you know, they're all written out of the book suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Which segued into the next run by Grant Morrison, who took over with issue 19. But before we get to that, there was one villain who appeared in volume 2 at the start in the Suicide Squad Doom Patrol special, and that was Mr. 103, who had 103 different elements at his disposal. And so we've been asked by Kevin, Astrakis 1 again, if Dubrovny was still alive, what do you think he would be doing with 118 elements at his disposal?
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have, like, reformed or anything.
No, I think he would.
Pretty sure he'd be a bad dude, yeah.
He was pretty hard to beat most of the time, particularly in the 60s. He really kicked their butts. But, I mean, he would probably be sitting around a lot waiting for the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry to announce new elements as they came up with them.
Probably, yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, only 94 of the elements are pure and natural. The rest are there's 24 that are synthesized. So I don't know if he could have all of the 118 at his disposal. And, you know, having done a little bit of reading about them, I don't think I understand what any of them do after 94.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe. Yes. And another question we were asked is, what if Hot Hands from the Doom Patrol and Johto from Dan Jurgens' Teen Titans arm wrestled? So Johto could generate heat and energy in his hands as well.
Right.
I think the Doom Patrol would win just because they're better than the Titans, clearly.
Well, and yeah.
And they're certainly better than that version of the Titans.
Who on earth asked that question?
That was asked by Doug Savisha.
Oh, who, thanks, Doug.
our little Doom Patrol friend who does the blog, My Greatest Adventure 80 Blogspot. Yes, and that's all about the Doom Patrol, and that's a great blog. And, yeah, he's done some updates recently, I've noticed.
Cool. But yeah, let's say Hot Hands would win, because Scott has that undefeatable strength of will and always wants to be a good guy and stuff.
Well, he took out Metallo. He loses control of his powers through his hands and takes people out. That's what he does.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then we came to the Grant Morrison run. So this run opened with Cliff under psychiatric observation because he is so traumatized by what happened to the team. So Robot Man is like the only survivor of the invasion crossover. Mm. And he meets a young lady called Jane, who becomes known as Crazy Jane. Mm-hmm. Isn't very culturally sensitive, but anyway. No. But she was traumatized as a child and basically has multiple personalities, and every single multiple personality has different powers. Mm. And they're almost immediately thrust into an adventure. And also, Larry Trainer returns. He returned earlier in Volume 2, but he becomes the host for the Negative Energy again, but also a lady called Dr. Eleanor Poole is pulled in as well. So they fuse into one being. So, and they changes his name to Rebus and is sort of androgynous, covered in bandages, floats around a lot, and becomes very detached from his humanity at this point.
Just a bit,
yeah. And this run is probably the most famous and the one that's the, you know, most been collected and, you know, shared around and everything. And in this, things get weird.
Things get very weird, yes.
Yeah,
so you're right, this is probably the better known run of the Patrol, yeah.
This is what most people have read and what most people are talking about when they talk about the Doom Patrol. So, you know, there are invasions from fictional universes and, you know, they introduced the Brotherhood of Evil in a new version called the Brotherhood of Dada, who were led by Mr. Morden, who has now transformed himself into Mr. Nobody.
Hooray!
He's an absurd character who, you know, would basically, he didn't want to rule the world. He just wanted to point out how crazy everything was.
Yep.
And sucked Paris into a painting, the painting that ate Paris, one of their famous stories. Then there was, lots of psychological adventures, some very funny stories, like there were Monsieur Mella and the Brain returned, like the gorilla and the brain in the robot body, and they had a clash with Cliff Steele in the Doom Patrol headquarters, and Cliff was also having a clash with his own new body, which decided it didn't want a brain in it. It wanted to be pure and physical and not be tied down by having to think. So that's a pretty wacky one. We met the Beard Hunter, who's a very troubled young man who declared a war on facial hair.
Yes.
So he would shoot people and cut their beards off.
Of course.
And he had it in for Niles Calder, who returned at the very end of Paul Kupperberg's run. So the Chief was back, and the Chief was he was pretty rough with his team. He wasn't – yeah. So
Yeah.
Yeah. So by the end of this run, I won't spoil it, but he is pretty much a baddie.
It's an interesting character development for the Chief. Yeah.
Yeah. Other notable things, they introduced Flex Mentallo, the man with the amazing muscle mystery powers, who could flex, and Hero of the Beach would appear above him. He was based on the sort of the Charles Atlas ads where you could send your money in and learn how to be a super strong man and not get pushed around on the beach.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah, so there were lots of highlights in this run. It gets very dark. It gets very heavy. Danny the Street. I should mention Danny the Street. The team picked up a new headquarters, which was a sentient street called Danny. And Danny was a transvestite street. So he had lots of, you know, typical macho shops like gun shops and things like that. But they all had lacy curtains. So,
yeah.
And Danny the Street is a pun based on Danny LaRue, the British entertainer. Who was also famous for dressing up as a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is probably the most famous run. It's available in several different versions. I think they're bringing out new trades of it now, so there'll be three trades to collect the whole thing. Previously, there were six trades. There's also an omnibus, so you could get the whole thing in one great big go. That's really
helpful.
Hard to read on the toilet.
Oh, is it Paul? Right. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, I'm a sharer. Yes. So, we had some questions about this. Now, one of the things that's interesting about the Doom Patrol is they came out pretty much just before the X-Men.
3 months. If you look before the X-Men.
Yeah, and there's like they're both teams of freaks and they're both led by old men in wheelchairs. Mm. So, is it a coincidence? I don't know. But the Doom Patrol was definitely first.
Yep.
I heard a podcast recently that said they were second, and that's bullcrap. And so there's no way the Doom Patrol copied the X-Men, but maybe there's a chance the X-Men copied the Doom Patrol. Who knows?
Yes. Also, they did.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Kevin, Astrakis One, he's also asked, who would win, besides us comic readers, in a wheelchair race between the Chief and Professor X? Assume that they both use a plain one without gadgets.
I'm going to say the Professor would win through cheating.
With his mental powers.
With his mental abilities, he would make his chair go faster and he would win through cheating.
I suspect that the Chief might just shoot him.
Yeah, fair call. Yep.
Yeah, the Chief would often, he would make his own rules as well.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. It would be an interesting race.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd like to set it in a velodrome with some nice curved hardwood floors just to make it really spectacular. Anyway.
Yes.
Right, we have another question from Moby, Shmoby1 on the Twitter, and he said, has there ever been a sequence where Cliff and the Brain ruminate over their similarities, i.e. both fundamentally brains in a jar?
I don't believe so.
The closest would be Doom Patrol 34, where the Brain tries to come and steal Cliff's body.
Mm.
But there's one bit where Malar throws the Brain at Cliff's jar of a brain as well and tells them to have a fight, which is two jars with brains in them going clunk.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. But there's a lot of philosophy about mind and body in that issue. So, yes. And the next question is from Juice. Is Robot Man a Transformer?
No. No, he's not. Not at all.
Mm. Yes. But Volume 2 didn't end there. So what happened next, Mike?
Yes, so Grant Morrison left the book after issue 63, and a new writer by the name of Rachel Pollack took over. And her first issue was also the first one under the new Vertigo imprint of DC Comics, even though the current trade paperbacks have Morrison's work under that as well. It's all a little bit confusing. So Rachel's team still had Cliff Steele. It had Niles Calder still, even though this time he was just ahead, which kind of always made me laugh. Like, he's the head of the Doom Patrol and he's just ahead, like Edison buddied. I don't know why that makes me laugh. And Dorothy Spinner had a much more prominent role in the team this time. And we had a new team member by the name of Kate Godwin joined, and she was a transgender character who went by the superhero name of Coagula. She had even tried out for the Justice League, but got, sent away politely. So, now, as you were saying before, Paul, how some people have come in to the patrol at different runs. This was the first run that I ever encountered of the Doom Patrol. So I had no idea of any of the Morrison stuff or even any of the stuff from the 60s before this point of the team's history. It was all just brand new to me, and it was like weird and cool and completely different. So some of my favorite runs was, there was a generation war between an old Crow character and an old Fox character, and they actually had a pack of wild feral girls have Dorothy Spinner join them, and they went to war against a retirement home and all the old people in that, which is completely bizarre. She also touched on things like Judaism and the Kabbalah in some of its later issues, and there were a lot more topics covering sex and sexual identity, because the team's new headquarters was in a place called Violet Valley, and they moved into a house full of sex ghosts, basically. They were called sexually remaindered spirits, and it was a haunted house full of people who had died in sex accidents.
Ooh.
And to keep the theme of having someone wearing bandage in the team, we also had George and Marion, who were bandage people and also sexually remaindered spirits, if I'm remembering that correctly. They also joined the team and had like complete control over their bandage body. So it was very wacky and very bizarre. And yeah, it kind of ended on a sad-ish note when the team finally wrapped up there, because yeah, that ended with issue 87 in February of 1995. So it went on for a while after the Morrison era, but yeah, it kind of never quite hit the same heights as that stuff before it.
Yeah, so then we jump forward 6 years, and this is when Volume 3 of the Doom Patrol came out. And this was written by John Arcudi, who there's two things he's very famous for. He is the co-creator of The Mask.
Oh.
You know, Jim Carrey, that was a comic before it was a movie.
Yes.
So he co-created that character with Doug Monkey. And he's most famous now for working with Mike Mignola on the BPRD books. So he's been working on them for the last 10 years or so, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he took on the run. And in this version, the Doom Patrol have been inactive. So a enterprising businessman called Thayer Jost, he decides to pick up the trademark and assembles a new team. So he finds all these young people with powers and brings them together. The art was done by a Malaysian guy called Tangan Hewitt. And it's very different Doom Patrol run. But Cliff Steele and Dorothy Spinner are two continuing characters from the earlier versions. Mm-hmm. And there's a few twists and turns in it. And it ends basically with the Doom Patrol taking back their name after a while. So, yeah, it's quite a good run. 22 issues. It ran from 2001 to 2003. So one of the questions I've been asked is, if Negative Man took antidepressants, could he turn into Positive Man? Well, probably not Larry Trainor or Rebus, but there was another Negative Man. So in this version, there was Negative Man 2, who was called Negative Man because he was a very negative person.
Just a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and his powers was he can look into the future for a few seconds.
Yes.
Which wasn't very useful. It was good in a split moment, but not very good in long term. Yeah. So, he was one of the more interesting characters in the team. But we are going to cover this book and the Rachel Pollack version of Doom Patrol in our coming episodes in the future.
Yes. We're getting into the stuff that we're still a little bit away from yet, so we can't give away too much.
Yeah. We'll probably get to this run this year. We'll start covering it. This one's never been collected. I don't think it's on Comixology. You'll have to find it in the back issue bins.
Yeah. It's not worth it, though. It's a good run. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, sorry. That question was from Ryan Daly, who does so many podcasts. He does the Secret Origins podcast, the Give Me Those Star Wars podcast, the Power of Fishnets podcast, and he'll pop up on anyone's podcast to ask just about.
So, God.
Yeah. But he's a terrific fellow who does very good podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Check him out.
Okay.
Go on.
I might continue with this podcast just for now.
Okay, yeah, go.
And moving from one pretty good run to one not so good run. We get to Volume 4 of the Doom Patrol, everyone's favourite, by John Byrne. which was launched in August of 2004. It was a brand new... it was literally a reboot of the team and their origin. They were introduced in a JLA story called The Tenth Circle. So John Byrne wrote and illustrated the series with inks by Doug Hazelwood, and it was all sort of, you know, they're together again for the first time, and it was a complete reboot and eliminated everything from previous Doom Patrol continuity. I mean, everything. It was all brand new. It was all completely changed. And yeah.
I think that's why the fan community did not embrace this run.
Possibly.
There's like 140 Doom Patrol comics that it tosses out.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it's an It's not one of my favorite runs. It has some okay moments in there. It introduces some kind of okay new characters like Nudge and Grunt. Nudge had kind of telekinetic powers to push people away. Grunt was a four-armed gorilla. There was an alien character called Vortex who could do weird vortexy stuff. It was okay, but you're not really missing anything if you skip over this run.
Right.
It only went for 18 issues. And then around about that time, DC had Infinite Crisis happen. And there was a super punch by one of the Superboys, and that restored all their the continuity of the patrol into one big, beautiful, reformed mass, so to speak.
True.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So yeah, if unless you're a completist like some of us are, I couldn't in all honesty recommend the Burn run. It's very straight up superheroics. It tries for the weird sci-fi angle and doesn't quite get there.
Yeah.
There's like illegal underground robot stadium fighting storyline in there. It's like, okay, that's a bit different, but yeah. It's, you know.
And if anyone has issues 5 to 18 lying around, you can send them to me because I ain't got them and we'll need them when we cover it.
Oh boy, you will. Yes, you will.
That's, this one ain't collected and it ain't on Comixology either.
Funny that.
Yeah. Yes. So that was an interesting sidestep in the Doom Patrol journey.
Mm.
And we will get to this run in much greater detail.
I know you're looking forward to it, Paul.
I am. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, we have a question from Doug Savisha. He said he worked in Metamorpho. Who else do you think John Byrne would have brought into the Doom Patrol if he'd kept it running? I presume.
God knows.
He might bring in some of his, like he. I could see Laurie Lamaris, the mermaid friend of Superman, in this.
Oh God. Sure.
Maybe the Silver Banshee who Byrne created?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. I don't know.
I don't know many of that many of Byrne's creations outside of you know.
We already had Crucifer in it, didn't we?
Well, that's true. Yeah. So that was enough.
Doesn't get better than that.
Probably could. Anyway, yeah. For the love of God, tell us about Volume 5, Paul.
Oh, okay. So Volume 5 it was a more a melding of the original Doom Patrol with the remnants of the Burn Doom Patrol, who they immediately killed.
Mm.
So in the very first issue, Nudge, who's a young girl, and Grunt, who's the four-armed gorilla bloke, yep. They get blown up by a helicopter.
Mm.
Yeah. And in this version of the team, there's Negative Man, who's now just Larry, with no female part.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably a bit weird by this point. Like, he's really not very... Yeah, all the weirdness has caught up with him, and he wanders around basically being afraid of an imaginary pelican a lot of the time. Yeah, Cliff Steele, still with the team. Yes... Niles Calder is there, but he's not a complete villain, though certainly he's been tainted by that sort of change in continuity. So the team don't really trust him. And at one point, he completely turns on them. He gets Kryptonian powers and tries to kill them all.
Yeah.
But Rita's back. So Rita has been revived through Niles' science. So, still a hot actress who can size change, except she sort of lost her humanity in the process. So she doesn't feel like a person anymore. She doesn't feel like she's made of regular flesh and blood like everyone else. So, so she was with the team. And they picked up some threats from Volume 3 with Thayer Joss, the businessman who was trying to exploit the Doom Patrol name.
Mm-hmm.
He's involved and he's being manipulated by a villain behind the scenes. And I don't know if we should talk about the villain behind the scenes.
We can't because this is one of the better runs.
It is one of the better runs. And we're going to cover this in great detail at some point. But yeah, so that run went for how many issues?
22.
Thanks, Mike. And it tied into Blackest Night, the Green Lantern event.
Yes.
Where all the dead members came back. Mm-hmm. We saw, you know, all the people from Volume 1 and 2 who were dead. And Volume 3? Yeah, were only Volume 3? No, but that was quite an exciting story. And yes. Yeah, so we have some questions. For a team so full of casualties, do you agree the Doom Patrol does not honour their lost deceased members properly? Dorothy Spinner deserved better. So that was asked by Abad.
Abad makes a very good point.
Because
the team do not.
No, they don't. They don't have like a garden of statues of all the dead people like the Teen Titans, and they don't have a, you know, room full of all the fallen heroes like Legion of Superheroes. So
no. Yeah,
they tend to just forget about people and move on.
Don't mention the war, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's part of the fact that the Doom Patrol are dysfunctional. Like they're not, they're damaged individuals. So I think this sort of adds to the damage in that they're not dealing with things in healthy ways.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
But certainly they've had their share of dead members.
Yes.
What else? Has anyone apart from Ambush Bug broken the fourth wall in a Doom Patrol book? So breaking the fourth wall is where you realize you're in a comic and start to treat it like a comic instead of a story. So Ambush Bug, that was one of his things. Like he was always, you know, pointing out and making fun of DC Comics by being aware of that he was in one. Mm. Yes, and if someone was aware of this, could they send ponies? So this was asked by Moby One. Now, the pony thing, in one of our very earliest episodes, Wilfred promised everyone that if we got 1 million downloads, Mike would give everyone a pony.
Yep.
Yep. So this has stuck around a bit, and from
hasn't it just?
Yeah, it's only been a year and a half, and it's still coming up.
It's hilarious. Still,
yeah. Mm. Oh, Wilfred, what a card!
That's one word starting with C. yeah. Ooh. So ignore any jokes about or requests for ponies because it's not going to happen.
But there is a character, I think, who was aware that they was in a comic in the Doom Patrol, and that is someone in the tail end of Volume 5, who we won't name who that somebody is.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm trying to think who that someone is.
If you want to edit this out, I'll tell you.
No, I think I know who it is. It's fine.
Oh, good.
You were.
Yes. And that run ends with someone going, "What's a flashpoint?" Which was a continuity resetting miniseries that happened right at that point.
Mm, yes.
Now, Juice asked, this is a smart aleck question, but I'll take it I'll use it to educate. Mm. When did Magneto join the Doom Patrol? There was a comic series called Amalgam where they merged DC products with Marvel products, and there was a comic called X-Patrol. So that's about as close as you get to Magneto joining the Doom Patrol, because it was a mix between the X-Men and the Doom Patrol, so sort of smooshing the characters together.
Mm-hmm.
We will cover that one day, maybe. Now, we've been asked, what is your creative dream team of any writer and any artist who worked on the book, e.g. Morrison or Premiani together with, or Giffen and Lytle together? This was asked by Dr. Ange, one of our listeners.
Hmm.
Obviously.
Yes. I couldn't quite wrap my brain around this one because there's so many possible combinations.
Oh. I want to see more Bruno Premiani art. He was a fabulous artist.
Mm.
And I could always see more of his stuff. Like, you know, he's long past now, but it would be fantastic to see more of that. So I would say Bruno Premiani, and I would probably enjoy seeing him paired with Keith Giffen.
I'd definitely go with Giffen.
Yeah.
For a modern writer. So, of the writers we've had so far. So.
Yeah, Giffen really exploited the silliness of the Doom Patrol a lot of the time. Grant Morrison sort of mined the weirdness, but yes. Giffen you know, pointed out the silliness. But he would take it to really dark places when he wanted to. So, was, you know, it one wasn't all one tone, was it?
Yeah, one of my favourite things about the Volume 5 run was that each of the main active team members, Rita, Cliff and Larry, they each got a spotlight issue, which gave you a lot of their background in the current setting of that run. And they were really well done, especially Rita's, because it was the first time she'd had anything like that done for her. So, I'll go with Giffen, the artist. Oh, I'll get back to you, Ange. I can't put my finger on one.
Right. Okay, so that is probably a good time to talk about what's been happening when we go down on Derriding the Way. So, on the 18th of June, we got the news that of the Doom Patrol solicitation. So, it said, this is what is coming out. So, solicitations for comics are basically come out 3 months ahead and say, these are the comics that are coming out in a few months' time. So, we discovered that the Doom Patrol, the new comic, Volume 6, is coming out on the 14th of September. And there was a great big article on the AV Club, and it spilled a lot of beans. So, basically, we got to know more about the team. So the team will include Niles Calder, so the Chief, Negative Man, Flex Mentallo, and Crazy Jane. So some really good characters making a comeback there. Yep. The comic will have weirdness. This was confirmed.
Oh, thank God.
So Jared Way, the writer, he is promising that things will get weird from here. Nick Derrington is the artist, and he seems very creative. So, but one of the things they're doing is they're doing a cover which has a gyro, which we thought was a kebab when we speculated about what was on the side of some of the promo art. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a gyro. What's the difference between a gyro and kebab? Is it the same as a donor? I don't know, Mike.
I don't know. I think a gyro might have more to it.
Maybe. We don't have gyros in Australia. We have donors and we have kebabs.
Mm.
Yeah. But, you know, I think they're all in the same sort of food family.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, if you could show someone a picture of a donor or a kebab, you'd probably get a gyro if that was what they were selling, I think. So
maybe, yeah.
Anyway, so there will be a removal sticker on the cover that you can peel off, and under that will be secrets. So we've been told that. Now, this is a tribute to a Velvet Underground album cover. So Velvet Underground and Nico, the very first album, Andy Warhol did the famous cover with a banana that you could peel that back, and underneath there was a pink banana devoid of a skin and quite innuendo-ish looking. Is that a good way to put it?
So it looks like a penis is what you're saying.
Oh, Mike.
I'm just trying to understand, man. I'm just trying.
Yeah. Anyway, so we found that out about the Doom Patrol. And the Doom Patrol issue one will come with six different covers. So, so there's the art and cover by Nick Derrington. So that's the standard one. Variant cover by Brian Bolland, who's a great artist. A variant cover by Sanford Green, who does the Power Man and Iron Fist comic.
Right.
One by Jaime Hernandez. Brian Chippendale. One of the Chippendales, I'm guessing?
Sure.
Sure. And Babs Tarr, who has recently been on Batgirl. So, how many of those covers are you going to get, Mike?
I have placed an initial inquiry for all of them.
Wow.
It's Doom Patrol variant covers. How often has this happened?
That's true.
Actually, it did happen a little bit back in the Giffen Clark run when they had Metalman backup stories. There were a few different covers done which mainly had the Metalman and, say, one Doom Patrol character.
Right.
But since then, nothing.
Yeah, okay. What else did we find out? James Harvey, a bloke called James Harvey, he did the design for the donor, or the gyro, as it's called, for the cover. And you know, he was the one who pointed us to the fact that that was a tribute to the Velvet Underground. And we also found another member of the creative team is Tamara Bonvillain. I'm probably saying that wrong. It sounds like Bond villain, which I'm sure she's never heard before. But she is the colorist for this the Doom Patrol comic. So, and she showed off some art with some lovely purple hues. So there are early indications that the cat character is called Lotion. Perhaps.
Yes.
Yet be confirmed. And yeah, I think that's about all we know for now, but we're looking forward to more information. So, and I mean, there's stuff coming out every day. Like I think today we got a new piece of art from Nick Derrington on his drawing board, which shows Flex Mentallo being attacked by lots of sort of metal tentacles. So maybe he's fighting Dr. Octopus. What do you think?
No.
No?
No. It'll be some weird hentai type thing.
Oh, my. Yeah, you can explain that.
Just a guess. Just a guess.
Yeah, so that's what we know when we go down on Derrington Way at the moment.
And that's pretty much caught everyone up on what's happened with Doom Patrol over the last 60-something years.
Yeah. That's it for Doomsplaining today. Yeah, well, there's more about the Doom Patrol in all our earlier episodes, and there'll be more in our upcoming episodes, I'm sure.
Yes.
Unless we radically rethink this entire show.
Let's not.
Okay. Stay on brand.
Yes. Okay.
Trekker Talk, a fan podcast devoted to the adventures of 23rd century bounty hunter Mercy St. Clair from the pages of Trekker Comics by creator, writer, and artist Ron Randall. I'm Darren.
And I'm Ruth. We'll be discussing the stories, characters, and art in this excellent retro sci-fi adventure series, as well as having side conversations about other areas of fandom.
We hope you'll join us as we travel from the dangerous back streets of New Gallif to the depths of outer space and everywhere in between.
Trekker Talk is available at podbean.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
Find us at trekkertalk.com.
Anyway, so this is the end of the show. So I'd like to say thanks to new listener Dean Jones, who we heard about through the Fire and Water podcast. He's gotten on board after hearing about our show through them. So thank you to the Fire and Water podcast for their lovely mentions of us all the time. I'd like to thank Darren and Ruth Sutherland for their mentions of us as well on Twitter and their constant support. So Mike, what's happening at the end here?
At the end here, I'm going to give everyone our contact details. They can find us on Twitter at WFDpod. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can reach us on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. And Paul, what's coming up next episode?
Next episode, I think we're going to cover the very end of the Paul Kupperberg run of Doom Patrol, which coincides with the Invasion crossover. So, yeah. And yeah, we've got a question of the week for everybody to answer then. What's your favorite spin-off from something? So it could be from a comic or a movie or a TV show or anything. Could be just spin-off from your lunch. I don't know. So that's the question.
Cool. Okay.
But we hope that everyone will join us next time for more of this.
Yes. Yes. So that's us for this week, guys. Thanks for joining us once again. And we'll catch you next time for more Waiting for Doom.